This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast, the Sunday night live after Huddersfield Town. Disappointing day for the Lions yesterday afternoon, falling to a 1-0 defeat at the hands of relegation rivals Huddersfield Town. To try and make our way through the comments, the rants, the moans, the groans this evening, we have Dan. Dan, how are you? Silly question, I assume.
Yeah, very, very silly question, mate. I'm actually going to throw it back to you and ask, how are you? As you was one of the 500 or 600 that were in the away end yesterday. So, how are you, mate? And as well, I believe you drove, so you had to watch that sober as well.
Yeah, it's it was a humbling day yesterday. The traffic on the way out there wasn't great. And on the way home, it was a bit of a nightmare, to be honest. It was good to see Ben, Dan, a couple of other friendly faces around. Sorry, Ben and Omar. A couple of our friendly faces around, but it was a tough watch, and I'm sure we'll get into it in a little bit more detail. And also, and before I give this guy an introduction, I just wanted to say last week he bailed me out massively. I was very poorly last weekend.
There was various reasons. I was working, Stephen was ill, Omar went for a curry, Mickey was having his hair done.
Yeah, it was all
married at first sight.
It was all a bit of a nightmare last week. I couldn't make the game in Rotherham, which was a blessing in disguise, really. But Jay, I thought you did a fantastic job holding the fort last week. Obviously, got your own guest in, held the fort on your own as well. How are you this weekend, mate?
I've got no words, mate, but they will come to me when we get going, because it's just pathetic, mate. It's about as good as having a handbrake in a canoe down at Mirwall at the moment, and that doesn't work. So yeah, we're going to dive. I'm not going to go too deep into my feelings at the moment, but yeah, I hope everyone's got their popcorn ready, because this is going to be a doozy.
And Peter, I did see that comment. I'm not having the slander of driving slow. Omar, I'm going to kill him for that. But anyway, moving swiftly on. So as I said at the start, we travelled to Huddersfield Town yesterday, buoyed by a little bit of maybe stupidity or hope that we were gonna get a result. And quite frankly, and being 100% honest here, and Dan, I'll come to you shortly after what I say, it was an absolute disgrace. It was an absolute disgrace from the boys in orange yesterday. Two open goals missed in the first half, which we'll come to, and just a shambolic series of events that led to Huddersfield picking up all 3 points. Dan, I know you might have been working yesterday, but obviously kept up with the game. Initial reaction at full time, what were your thoughts?
I'm just running out of words to describe this group of players. It's almost a year ago since I first came on the podcast after we just lost to Wigan in our failed playoff quest last season. What's changed? Absolutely nothing. The only thing that's changed is our league position for the worse in terms of what has happened. I'm just running out of words to describe this group of players. I think when I came on last season, the first 3 words I used to describe the players were spineless, pathetic, cowardly, embarrassing. And it just gets worse. And I think we've almost got to the point now where we've ran out of words to describe how they're playing. This isn't just a player problem, as we know. We've been through three manager stroke head coaches. There's clearly problems higher up the club at the moment as well that we will touch on, whether that is in tonight's one or whether that is on a later date. What we want to make clear from the three of us is that right now we're aware there's going to be a lot of questions about the summer and about who the next manager is going to be. This show tonight is going to be about what happened yesterday and about the next month, because in terms of what's at stake for the future of this football club, we're approaching a very, very, very big month.
Absolutely. And again, as Dan said, we'll go through the comments as usual. Tom, he's on the screen there, is a very happy Norwich fan, and he obviously a good friend of mine. That was the perception that we would be okay under Harris from outside the club. I know there was, you know, some question marks, but you know, as things are transpiring, we've lost a new manager bounce and it's looking very, very poor. Jay, again, obviously was unable to go to the game yesterday, but was keeping up to it. He was very up to date, as I say, in my pocket. I could feel your updates as I was watching it live. You were bang on the...
Jay was our Jeff Stelling in the group.
Yeah, sorry for that, boys.
it was quite helpful having Jeff Stelling and all the goal updates. So.
It just, from start to finish, apart from the two chances that we missed early on in the first half, obviously, I was there, so you get caught up a little bit in the emotion. But watching it on the screen, was it as bad as it looked in person? You know, what was your thoughts?
And just quickly before you get going, Jay, we're just going to say, Bailey, thank you for your comment, mate. We are going to get Jay to do a full tactical analysis of Billy Mitchell dribbling the ball for a bit.
Yes, we are.
Stephen's been waiting for that. I know he has.
So we'll let you crack on. And then I feel like you may as well do it once you've had your little wrap-up. So. The floor is yours.
How dare they? How dare they dedicate anything to the passing of John Berylson? How dare they all say, this one's for John Berylson, we're not going to let this season sit, we're going to do it for him? How dare Harris come out and say, we're going to come out swinging and this the Millwall way? How fucking dare every single one of them? How dare the board have the front to sit there and watch this happening? Because if we go down, you're going to have the same manager and virtually the same players we had when we was in League One last time. How is this club moving forward? How are we improving? There is no improvement. The only thing that's changed from last year is that these players have got older and they've got worse. That is the only thing that's changed. Watching it yesterday was absolutely not even embarrassing for myself. I felt sorry for them. You know, when you go to a public toilet and you go into the toilet and the person in the cubicle next to you is being a bit loud and you start going la 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 in your head because you feel embarrassed for them or you don't. That's how I felt watching Millwall yesterday. I thought the game plan didn't look like a game plan at all. It just looked like we was trying to throw things forward, bodies forward. The defending was absolutely shambolic. And if Huddersfield were a better side, we'd have been 4-5-0 down in the first half. Apart from Lenny's fantastic interception to stow away the open goal that I think it was Cromer had on that left-hand side, the defending was absolutely atrocious. And there are some people, not just some actually, a lot of people, players, staff and board that need to fucking hang their head in shame, because again, how fucking dare they come out and say the stuff that they say and then put that out there.
I'm just going to jump in, Stephen. It's just something I saw on social media. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the account. I think it was Millwall Dobbs that tweeted it. He might be listening. If you are, good evening, mate. He tweeted, you lot say you're doing it in honour for John Berylson. You're mugging him off. I don't think there's any more of a way to put it than that, really. The great name of John Berylson, the work that he's done to get Millwall to where they are today is, you know, we kind of know our place. We are a smaller championship club, but the work that we've done to give ourselves a really good chance of getting into the playoffs last season, to go from where we are, what is that, probably 6, 7, 8 years good work since, even going back 10 years, since Harris came in, got us out of League One within two seasons, kept us up, went to Rowett, stability, pushing us up the championship consistently, all of that thrown away in, what, 6 months?
And just to follow on from that, you know, Dan, we've obviously... at Sheffield Wednesday, you went to Plymouth, we've been to Watford, we've been to lots of different away games this year, Jay, yourself as well. And the fans the fans sing John Berylson, and it goes on and on and on and on and on, and it's a great chant. I did it at Southampton. It's a great chant. They sung it once, to my knowledge, yesterday. I believe it was once we started to get that going. And I thought, and as you said, it's disrespectful to him to sing his name watching that performance. It was absolutely baffling. And, you know, as I say, I was there yesterday, Bailey in the chat. I think there's a couple other people that probably were. And it was, you were clinging on for a point at the team who are 22nd in the league. It's unacceptable. I love Neil Harris. He is a hero. He is a legend. But there is no defending the set of tactics, the set of substitutions and the game plan to go to the team's 24th and 22nd in the division in back-to-back games and play for a point. It's unacceptable. We'll come on to individual players. We'll come on to, you know, bits and pieces. Before we do, Jay, do not think you've got away with it. Do not think that I've forgotten about it.
And this Billy is about Mitchell, as lighthearted as it's going to get tonight.
Billy Mitchell. Now, I'm not going to use Billy Mitchell as a scapegoat because pretty much nearly all of the players in Orange yesterday were absolutely diabolical. However, for a professional footballer to pick the ball up and full on sprint the ball off the field, and again, I won't just go with Mitchell. Matty Sarkic could see the ball in the wind, could see by kicking the ball up in the air, it was a problem. So what's he going to do? Kick the ball up in the air, add another opportunity, kick the ball up in the air. It's basic, simple football. We know Neil Harris plays basic football, but we're not even doing the basics right. Why?
The whole team yesterday did not know how to play football. And Billy running it out the way he did showed that, well, one, he had no options because no one moved for him. No one moved at all. And two, he's a deer in the headlights when he has to try and deal with the situation himself. I love Billy Mitchell. I think Billy's been really good since he come in and he's deserved his place and has deserved the praise. But you need to take the criticism as well. And I'll eat crow happily because he was appalling yesterday. He didn't get any help from the players either side of him. Don't get me wrong. And we'll come on to them as well. But that is absolutely shocking from a player playing in a championship football. It's not even basics. It's grassroots level. If in doubt, kick it out. What are you running it out for? Sarkic, you could see the Huddersfield set up. They changed halves before the kickoff because they wanted to go at us with the wind in their favour. And you could see that Sarkic knew what the issue was. And even our strikers knew, but we were still running beyond, right? And the ball still floating up in the air and then coming back over the halfway line. Even our own players still couldn't adapt to that very simple, naturistic aspect of the game. Not even the playing of the game or the tactics could be gotten right. It's the elements. We couldn't even deal with the elements that were so basic. We couldn't even get it right. You had Cooper swinging his leg at balls that was just giving it away. Harris said it himself, but we'll come on to Harris for his wrongs, what he said wrong on that. But he couldn't pass the ball 5 yards.
The other thing with the conditions, and again, guys, thanks for the comments. Dan is doing a stellar job keeping up with him at the moment. At the moment, there's over 220 of you watching at the moment. I can see on my screen. So thank you very much. I'm going to do my Mickey piece to make him proud as always while he's sat somewhere in Turkey, as Dan says, having his head on. Please like and subscribe. Without you guys, obviously, we wouldn't have much of a channel or much support. So thank you very much for tuning in. I know it's going to be very negative tonight, very disappointing, but it's how it is at the moment, and we appreciate you you being here. The tactics and the conditions. So we failed to deal with the wind and the conditions and our players, just like the bouncing ball, the ball in the air. It made us look stupid. Let's be honest, it did. So in the second half, when you have the wind in your favour and you're supposed to make the most of it, right? What did we do? Matty Sarkic was lumping the ball out for a goal, for a throw-in every time, or a goal kick because he's smashing it too far. And Huddersfield seemed to be able to cope with the wind. They were playing it lower, flatter trajectory passes to deal. I know they're the home team. I know they're more used to playing in those conditions, but it's simple, basic football. It doesn't take a genius to work it out. And in the second half, we made, I think there was one time where we played the ball over the top that Obafemi got onto, but it's just completely, completely different. Lions Roar, it was good to meet yesterday. No, I didn't have my shorts on, but Omar and Ben thankfully did. So they were carrying the flag there. Dan, I'll come to you. I'm assuming you've obviously seen the highlights and bits and pieces in the game. Can you try and explain to me, or anyone in the chat, can any of you explain to me what George Honeyman was trying to do with that ball when it come across in the first half, please?
I have no idea what he was trying to do, to be completely honest with you, mate. Like, I mean, listen, first half, we created some okay at best openings. Realistically, that should have been a goal, that one, and we was denied a penalty. But we can't keep talking about if, buts and maybes, so we know we're not going to get any favours with officials. We've got to go out there, roll our socks up and get the job done any way possible. The problem is Harris has simplified these tactics to literally the most basic level so that this group of players can try and understand just the absolute most basic elements of the sport. And they just can't seem to do it. They just can't seem to do it. You ask them to do more complicated things, which Edwards was trying to do. You ask them to do something in the middle, which Rowett was trying to get them to do. They just can't seem to do anything. Like, what is the way forward from here? There is no way. There's no way forward at the moment. I mean, Harris is simplified, but why are we just smashing it up 5'8" Obafemi, like, against 6'2", 6'3" centre halves? What's he going to do? It's basically the same as what Bradshaw would do up there. The only difference is Obafemi might not run around as much after a headless chicken, but he's probably a bit quicker. That's probably the only difference we're really talking about here. So what's the difference going to be? There's talk Bradshaw might be back for Tuesday or Saturday. Same with Nisbet, might be back for Saturday, might be back for Sunderland. What difference is it going to make shoving either of them guys in the team? They're both shorter than 6 foot. They ain't going to be fancying their chances against like Dan Ballard when we play Sunderland, and Wout Faes and Yannick Vestergaard when we play Leicester. Like, there's no creativity in this team whatsoever. Why have we left SA and Mayer on the bench for 30 seconds? We'll come on touch on Harris's comments about some players want it more than others. That we'll touch on that later on, because we've all got some views on that and I think it needs to be discussed. But quite frankly, if I'm SA and Mayer being subbed on with 30 seconds left, I'm probably refusing to come on, to be completely honest, seeing Longman Absolutely. Playing 100 minutes ahead of me.
And Jay, this is a bit of a depressing, well, it's all going to be depressing, to be honest with you, but Jake Cooper manages to miss from pretty much the exact same spot on the pitch that their fella puts the ball away in the second half. Again, I'll ask you the question, but I'll word it slightly differently first. The plan from corners seemingly is always, always aim for Jake Cooper. That seems to be the tactic. Now, we see about 10 fouls a week given against him. We never get a corner. We never get anything. But the plan is still to pick him out. If that's the plan, why can he not hit the target from 3 yards?
He ain't physical enough. He goes down like a sack of spuds. People need to stop putting their money on Jake Cooper to score and put money on how many fouls he's going to give away from set pieces. Because he gives more than what he wins. For someone of his size and his stature and has got a good record in years past, he is a calamity in the opposition box at the moment. He's a calamity in our own box at the moment.
He's a calamity on the pitch, to be honest.
Exactly. He seems to not have any confidence.
He's
there was
got to be one of the worst captains in this club's history. I know he's not the official club captain. I think Harris made reference to that by saying, I brought the club captain on.
He's not a captain.
This has hurt me about John Parson and I want to do the club proud. That's why I've decided I'm signing a new contract. What's the point in that? Might as well just throw that piece of paper that someone else obviously wrote that on for him, because he's not smart enough to write an articulated paragraph like that, and make a paper airplane out of it.
Jake Cooper is one of them players that Harris has spoke about, 100%. I'm not going to be told otherwise, because he was really good up until he got his deal. I say really good. I say he was good. You know, he was an acceptable defender because he played alongside Hutchinson, who makes anyone better. Hutchinson's a fantastic defender. But since he signed that deal and he gave us his big fucking intro of all his goals he scored, fucking 99% of them coming against Sheffield United, he has done fuck all. He's a terrible defender. put in a bad situation. He does not want the armband. Why three managers have decided to give him the armband speaks to the lack of intent from the managers, that they really don't want to change it up. They really don't want to ruffle feathers. And we need that. We needed someone to come in and go, you're shit, fuck off. And no one's doing that. Because these players that are playing every week at the moment, whether it was under Rowett, because he had his favourites, and whether it's under Harris now, who's clearly got his favourites, they aren't good enough. And you've got Emaku, SA, Maya, sitting on the bench. Young, hungry players who are going to be here next year, who can offer us something going forward in attack, and they're still sitting on the bench. Them substitutions he made yesterday.
Oh, we've appeared to have lost Jay.
You've muted Jay.
I muted? Where did you get to?
You said that the SA, Maya and Emaku were hungry.
Right, so to leave them on the bench when they can offer us some attacking threat and they're going to be here next year, when you've got players that are not going to be here next year, why would they even bother themselves? Harris is literally making a rod for our own back with the players that are going to be here next year because they're not getting games. And to stick Ryan Longman up front, I just knew it was over. I actually thought Longman had a good first 30 minutes. I thought if it was going to come from anyone, it was going to come from him. And then he turned back into what he's been doing every single week, which is nothing. Nothing. He looks like an angry man, and then he does nothing. And to stick him up top, and then the elements, we have to drop back because the ball's going to come back to us in the first half, and we don't do that. And in the second half, we're either not putting enough on it because we know the ball's going to take an extra couple of yards rolling, or we put too much on it, or players are running into the wrong position. None of these players are good enough, so get rid of them. Get Mayer in, get Emaku in, get SA in, get fucking Hutchinson back in the side, get Bielkowski back in goal, get some of these younger players, these players that are going to be next year, in the game for Tuesday night, because enough's enough now. There is no loyalty. There is no, I'll stick with what I know. These players have worked for me before. Billy Mitchell's, none of them. Enough's enough.
The thing is, there was a comment from Bailey about that it's not been Cooper's fault for the goals as an individual. And I can understand that. And I'm not putting all of the blame on Jake Cooper. However, what I would say, and we are going way off topic, and we this is going to happen because of the nature of what's going on at the moment and the kind of emotion. I don't always buy into players coming over at the end of the game after they've been beaten, because it don't really matter, does it? You've lost the game, that the players come over to the supporters. However, Jake Cooper had that armband on and just the full-time whistle blew and he stormed straight that. He walked straight off the pitch.
He's done it pretty much every game this season. Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday, when we was down in the dumps, Edwards' last game, walked straight off. Southampton, after we just won 2-1, very small clap to the fans, straight off. Captain, you should have been bigging up your players, bigging up the crowd to try and soak it in. Yesterday, walked straight off. He's a disgrace.
And that to me is part of the problem, is the complete disconnection, if you will, of from the players to the supporters. Sarkic did the same thing. He picked up his bottle, literally turned his back and walked off right in front of us. George Saville come over and took dog's abuse, in all honesty, from, I know it wasn't as many people, but he took abuse. Zian Fleming come over, took abuse. And the young lads, Emaku, SA and Maya, all trudged over clapping down the touchline, and there was a fella that right down at the front, and you could hear him clear as day, turned around and shouted over to them, why aren't you playing, to the boys. And Romain SA literally went, I don't know, they looked gutted. Those boys looked absolutely gutted. They played 30 seconds. In Emaku's case, he didn't play any of the game, but it hurts them, boys. You can see it hurts them because they know that they are going to be here next year to pick up the pieces. They are going to be here to pick up the whatever shambles we're left, you know, whatever division we're in, which is looking more like League One. Like I say, I know we're Millwall. We know we're not, it's not all about getting the players coming over and it's all happy. I get that, but it's still a disconnect from club captain or the guy with the armband. We will come on to Harris's comments about that, because I think it was very telling. You touched, Jay, I'll come back to you. You touched on the fact that they brought on, that they took off Michael Obafemi after 70 minutes. I personally thought he did take a quite a heavy knock just before he come off. I know there's been some talk about his attitude and whatnot, and I've replied in the WhatsApp group about it. But I did think he took a knock, and Harris probably thought we might need him for the rest of the season, so take him off. Putting Ryan Longman up front, to me, was the biggest slap in the face to Millwall supporters that Harris could have given us yesterday. I know you share the same view as me, but can you think of any reason why that was the change?
I can understand the substitution. I agreed with the substitution. We've taken Obafemi off, but the tactical awareness from Harris, it was just pathetic. It was clearly to set up not to lose for that second half, because Ryan Longman will drop back, he'll defend, and Harris wanted to make it two banks of five. He should have stuck Zian Fleming up front, moved George Honeyman into the middle, and brought Brooke Norton Cuffey onto the right-hand side and gone after him. Why are we not going after these pathetic teams who can't win games just like us? Go toe-to-toe with these teams, because Rotherham went at us, Huddersfield went at us, Sheffield Wednesday went at us, QPR went at us, and they all beat us. So this defensive Millwall way, which we'll touch on, because I'm sick to death of hearing this Millwall way now, it's not a thing. It doesn't exist anymore. If the Millwall way is what Harris says it is now, then I don't want to be a part of it, because it's all about losing games of football against really, really bad teams. The substitutions he made were the right time to make the subs, but for the completely wrong people. They were terrible. And then one sub that really griped me was at the most key moment in the game. They've got a set piece really late on and you make a fucking substitution. You never make substitutions at corners and free kicks, especially when it's going to be one of the last kicks of the game. Because all you do is you ruffle the feathers. You've got to have too much communication to go on, because people have got to be told where they've got to go now, what they've got to do now. And it's all too much information to take. Defend the fucking court of the free kick. Defend it while your heads are set. Then make the substitution once it's clear. It was poor from Harris. I don't know what Barrett has been saying in his ear, but it's poor from that cunt for the last 6 years. It's poor from the players. It's just so bad. And I don't want to hear we're going to come out swinging. Because when Harris comes out for his pre-match for Leicester, right, I don't want to hear Millwall way, and I don't want to hear come out swinging. Because if that's coming out swinging, then I'm lost, boys. I'm absolutely lost, because it's gutless.
The thing is, Jay, and Dan, I'll obviously come to you in a second. The thing is, you're saying everything that I think everyone was screaming at their TVs yesterday afternoon. Yeah. The supporters were screaming at the game yesterday. You know, people abroad watching us and hoping for a result. We're just in a phase at the moment that it's so bad. It's so, so bad. I liken, and Dan, I'll get your thoughts on this. I liken last week was damaging. At Rotherham, that was a damaging result. Yesterday was the killer blow.
Yeah, I can't. I'm sorry. I've seen a couple of people saying in the comments that they think we're going to stay up. I'd love to have some of that optimism. I know my nickname's Negative Dan and whatnot, but I'd struggle to see where we're even going to really get a win from for the rest of this season, to be completely honest. It is just baffling to me. I said in our group chat in the week, in our podcast group chat, that I would say, just quickly, Anthony, mate, good evening to you up in Manchester. I'm sure Ben Green's also licking his lips at that prospect. I said that this is one of the most unlikable group. In fact, I said this is the most unlikable group of players that we've had since Neil Harris. And I remember most of the boys in the group chat saying to me, I think that's a bit harsh. And I'm like, every single chance they've had for the last year with the slightest ounce of pressure on, they just seem to excel themselves at finding new ways to absolutely blow it. And yet again, yesterday, they managed to take it to a whole new level. It's just baffling. It's stunning. These are professional athletes that we're talking about here, Stephen. I mean, you know, I don't want to throw this on you, but like, do you understand why I said my comment in the week now about why this group of players is so unlikable?
So funny enough, Ben and I were talking about this at the game before the game yesterday. I didn't understand the comment in relation to certain players, because I think the players, some of the players are likable. They're not like Ollie Burke, for example, someone you just look at and you're just instantly annoyed with all the antics that come along with him, you know. And there's other players that I don't think it's a case that they're not like. But your point about being spineless, gutless, it's nearly a year ago that these players had the biggest opportunity of their professional careers, majority of them, to make the top six and to make the Premier League. Let's be honest. For most of us, for most of that squad, that's the closest we're going to get in a long, long time. None of those players, maybe Zian Fleming will go on to bigger and better things from that team. And, you know, that's for another issue, right? And they completely thrown it away. This season, the mentality is exactly the same as the second half at Blackburn. So from your point of view of that they're spineless and that they're not showing any heart, they're not showing any passion, they haven't learned from what happened last year. I understand. I don't think it's a case of that they're unlikable as individuals. And I think the way that it looked like you were saying it in that sense, and I think that's where there was a little bit more of the backlash towards people disagreeing with you. But I tell you, you know, there's a comment there. Sky Bet have got us. I looked at this yesterday. Sky Bet have got us at 9-2. For us to be relegated. Well, they must either know something that we don't, because we are dead and buried.
Oh,
and
there's no, we're dead certs. Yeah, I might have a house in a year.
Well, I mean, look, I just, you know,
I think I could be wrong, but I think this is your friend who's coming.
Yeah, it is.
Do you want to answer this? He doesn't seem like he's here to take the piss. He seems like he kind of wants to.
Oh, no, he's in person, he takes a piss. Don't you worry about that, because he's a Norwich fan, and he's very happy.
He's a good mate if he does take the piss. That's what you want from your mates, really.
Yeah. No, but to answer the question, what needs to change? There's so much that needs to change at this football club. From the top to the bottom. John Berylson, God bless his soul, fantastic chairman. I don't think he knew the half. We've already discussed this. I don't think he knew the half of what was going on behind the scenes at Millwall. He was fed information. He was told this, that and the other. And now John's not here making the decisions. It is like a circus. You've got Aldo doing what he wants. And also, while I'm on this, director of football. When does the director of football just say nothing for months? And
where's his accountability?
Yeah, nothing. He just sits there and does nothing. Kavanagh, he always does the monthly meeting, doesn't he? The update on what's going on, and for the supporters, there's always a statement that gets put on the Mill website. Well, we ain't seen that for the last couple of months. So they've got that. They got that.
Yesterday, by the way, on the social media as well. No tweets since full time yesterday. Nothing like hear what Harris had to say, which is a joke that's behind the paywall anyway. Why should we have to pay to listen to what our manager says when we've just lost twice in 3 days to two teams that are in the relegation zone?
I completely agree. It's just an absolute disgrace. And
well, here we go,
I saw
Northern Migrations commented this a couple of times, and I thought I'm moving on to the topic now. So we'll let you go on to that. Jake and have his word after that as well.
I was actually just going to lead it just to say to Jay before that comment come up. You know, we're talking about the players. We're talking about Harris. We're talking about Harris having a negative mentality, the players not being good enough. But that's being drip-fed from above Neil Harris's head. That's not just come from, it's not just started from the management and the assistant managers and the coaches. That's right at the top. Right, Jay?
They've seen an opportunity. Aldo and Kavanagh have been rubbing their hands because James Berylson, you know, what a good job he's done to take over from his dad. How much does he actually want it in the first place? How much is he doing it out of love for his dad? How much does he know? How invested is he? Because Kavanagh and Aldo, they're clearly running the show. And they're drip feeding him whatever he needs to hear, shall we say, not what he wants to hear, because they want to keep their fucking jobs. They're both useless at it. absolutely terrible. They've got as much credentials as Anne Frank's drum set, the pair of them, to be in the positions that they're in, and they are absolutely ruining this club. Aldo fucked off before, fucked another club up, and for some reason we thought it was a good idea to bring him back. So we make the wrong decisions without these people being here. So while they deserve the utmost disrespect and bollockings, we haven't helped ourselves with and without them. Now, Kavanagh clearly runs a show. Aldo does whatever he wants to do. But what has he got that has allowed him to get the position he's got at a championship football club? This is why we're in the position we're in. We don't recoup money from player sales. This is Aldo's department. We bring in terrible players that are injury prone, that don't ever get on it. That's Aldo's department. We've got all these players out of contract. We're going to lose 11 players from loans and from contracts. That's Aldo's department. We've got no succession plan behind the aging players that we've got. That's Aldo's department. So what the fuck does he do? Because he does nothing. Allegedly, it wasn't him who went out and got Harris. It was James Berylson who made the call to Harris. Aldo.
Well, we know why that was though. You know why that was, because Aldridge went to Edwards and said, "Hello, mate, do you fancy this job?" He doesn't exactly want to get shown up that he's made a shit appointment.
No, and he keeps his job because he's the guy who's hired the guy. You know, and everyone did praise it at the time. Edwards was the right guy, wrong time. And the wrong situation. This club is rotten. Rotten to the core. Gary Rowett, now I know a lot of people, myself included, did want Gary Rowett out. But that guy did a fantastic job at this football club because he was the manager, not the head coach. And if people don't know the difference, the head coach is just solely in charge of coaching the football team. The managers are involved in deals, contracts, the youth setup. And Gary Rowett had all that to deal with as a manager. And he did that very, very well. You know, we brought some good players through. You know, we did invest and brought players like Fleming to the club. Gary Rowell got the literally blood out of a stone at this football club. And we're only just seeing now how much of a good job he did. Because I'm going to fall on the sword here and people might go after me. That Gary, I don't think we'd be in this position if Gary Rowell was still in charge of the club. Not because he's a great manager, just because he understands management, because he takes a lot of the load from Aldo, because they can't look at him and manipulate him, because he's been a manager for a long time. He's been an ex-player. He's been at big clubs like Birmingham and Stoke. So he's got the right to turn around and tell them to shut their mouth because he knows what's best. Right? Harris probably hasn't got that in terms of having a big ego as being a manager. He hasn't been around, you know, and he's not a big manager personality, albeit a big Millwall personality. And Joe Edwards hasn't either. So with people like Edwards, Harris, and whoever else you get, Edwards and Kavanagh, they can manipulate these people. They couldn't do it with Rowett. Now, this club is rotten to the core, and until the board address it with themselves, it will never get better from the staff, and it will never get better on the pitch. Everyone is accountable just as much as anyone else.
100%. And that comment on the screen there, 3RJSMFC, you people are way too fickle. I know it's a football disease, but rein it in a bit. Who remembers 78 and 83? We were in a way worse position at this time and got out of it both times. Now, I can't comment on those two incidents, and neither can the boys are above me, because unfortunately we wasn't around to see the 1978 and 1983 situation. But the reason why it's so important now, and it is a problem now, and we may well be okay. We may well find a miraculous recovery. I doubt it, but we might. However, football today is completely different to how it was back in the 70s and the 80s. It's money driven. It's financially driven. Contracts, player power, it's become more of a business. If this football club drops out of the Championship into League One, based on other clubs, you know, difficulty, Ipswich, it took them years to get out of League One. Sheffield Wednesday took them years. Cholton have been down there for ages. Portsmouth, albeit this year, are coming back up, but it's taken them a long time to recover. We don't have the resources to compete in League One if we go down, because of the amount of players we're going to lose and the wages and the structure, everything. That's why it's a massive, massive problem. I'm not saying it's any worse than what it was in the 70s and 80s. I'm sure there's guys in the chat that would be able to agree with that. I don't know. I can't comment on that. But it is a serious problem. And it started because 7 years ago, or 8 years ago, whatever it was, when Neil Harris took over, we were a clown show under Ian Holloway. We went down to League One, we rebuilt, and we've got ourselves back up.
As well, by the way, we don't usually rebuild. Yep. We don't usually get into the playoffs first season and get promoted second season. It usually takes 4 to 5 seasons.
And where are we going to be come the beginning of May? We're going to be back in League One with the same manager, with the same players that were here 6 years ago, 7 years ago, with all the good ones cherry picked and that have left the club will have gone full cycle and be nothing. And all that will be left to pick up the pieces will be the young kids that are not getting a game at this time. Any of the players that can't get a game elsewhere.
You think some of the young kids are going to want to stay? You think SA and Amaku's agents and probably even Mayer's agent probably aren't on the phone now trying to get the moves because they're realising under Harris, there's no prospect of youth players getting minutes at the minute whatsoever, is there?
No, and that's it. I mean, Amaku, I'll be honest with you, I don't think he was fit. Looking at him in the warm-up yesterday, I just don't think he was ready. Why you'd not bring that Tom Leahy again with you to at least have someone you could bring on. I it's very frustrating. You know, we're all passionate Millwall fans, and you know, we're staring down the barrel. And the biggest thing for me is that this was all unnecessary. This didn't need to go this way this season. It really didn't.
This comment I've got on screen, Nathan Jones must be laughing his bollocks off. He was in the final two. He was almost nailed on to get the job until all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this Daily Mail reporter started coming on with the fact that we've opened talks this England under 20 head coach that we've got a lot on. You do have a little scratching beneath the surface. It turns out Aldo already knows him. That's where it is. Mates are just doing mates a favour inside the club. Like, not being funny. Like, I think this is only a small example, but Burke hasn't been in any of Rowett's three squads at Birmingham since he's been there. He's not injured. Rowett just hasn't picked him because he hasn't fancied him. When it was 12 months ago, he was starting week in, week out for us at this stage of the season, a crunch stage of the season, because we had nothing else. What does that say? Sorry, I'm getting behind on the comments. I'm gonna catch up now. We just need to make that point about Jones. Jones was so close to getting the job. He must be laughing his bollocks off now. He's got Charlton 11 undefeated. They're going to be licking their lips at the prospect of playing us at the way we are at the moment next season. They're probably thinking it might be time that run finally ends.
They'll beat us. They're trending up. League One is now what the Championship was 8 years ago. There's massive clubs in League One, some big budgets in League One, and some quality teams in League One. Charlton have had their issues with their ownership, but they're getting it together on the field. When we go down, we're not going to be able to compete with some of these clubs because we ain't going to have the finances to replace the 11 players that we're potentially going to lose. We're not going to be able to backfill with signings to back any of these players up if we do retain them. And what's going on with the management? What's going on with the board? What's going on with the likes of Zian Fleming, who definitely won't be playing football in League One? Kasper Dunore most probably definitely won't be playing football in League One. Sarkic maybe. You know, we got some players that are Championship level, but they're not going to play in League One. And we're going to have to sell because we need finances. We can't just get money out of trees.
We do stay up. I'm sorry, I know my name's negative, Dan. I'm not trying to be negative. But if by some miracle we do stay up, which I can't see at this point, we are going to be like, I don't think we'll be as bad as Rotherham, but we are going to be quite scraping the barrel with that next season. Because you look at the teams that are coming up. Pompey, I think, are one win off. Look at the way they're set up. Look at the way they're not like overly well resourced, but they've got money to spend. Bolton, Derby, these are massive teams that are coming up. They've all got bigger budgets than us. And crucially, they've all got people that know the club, that know football running the clubs. And they've all got good managers, tactically astute managers.
Big fan bases, good ownership, big clubs. Championship clubs, we can't compete. And to go to Barry's comment, who, you know, if I've spent 20 seconds talking bollocks, I'd love to hear your view. Tell me your view on it, because if anyone thinks we would be in this position with Rowett, I think you're mad. I didn't like his football. His football was shit. I didn't like anything about Gary Rowett, but he stabilised his club better than any manager has in the last, how many years do you want to go back? You know, it's the club is rotten to the core, and that is on all three managers, and that is on the board. But anyone, and we said this on a few pods ago, anyone who thinks we're going to go down to League One and compete is on drugs. We will be more in danger of going down again than what we will do of coming back up. Let me tell you, because it's that bad.
I think, I mean, I don't know. I think you're right. In the sense, we're not going to be challenging at the top of League One, unless there's some real big miracle of turnaround and players, you know, the squad that gets assembled. I'm gonna bring it back just to yesterday's game, but after the game, and the comments made by Neil Harris to BBC Radio London. I'm going to dissect this a little bit because there's a few interesting comments that I think that need to be discussed.
If anyone wants to listen to what our manager has to say without paying, because we shouldn't have to, as season ticket holders and members of the club, already putting in hundreds of pounds to the club a year, you can listen to the full interview on BBC Radio London. Not a BBC plug, just making sure everyone's aware that you can listen to something for free.
Yes, you can. And this is, and I think the interview on Lions TV is slightly different to what Harris actually put out on BBC. But anyway, the first comment, he specifically said, and I know we've spoke about Jake Cooper, but I'm going to talk about the other person now. He specifically said the words, "We brought on our club captain, who is one of the best headers of the ball in the division, to try and deal with set pieces." Now, I love Sean Hutchinson, and he is club captain. Firstly, I made that a dig at Jake Cooper, because emphasising that Hutchinson is a captain, is a leader. And I think I personally took that as a dig at Coops. And secondly, if he's that good and you think of him that highly, why are you not starting him? And I know people will say you've got Tanganga. Yes, you do have Tanganga. And Tanganga is probably the best centre-back at the club, obviously, because of where he's come from. It's an obvious statement. Play Hutchinson alongside him. You don't have... I've spoke on this podcast before about having a left-sided centre-back on the left-hand side and the advantages that it brings. And it does bring an advantage. But my God, Sean Hutchinson is a far better option. And if Harris thinks that highly of him to make those comments, why is he not playing, Jay?
I get that. You know, Hutchinson does need to be managed a bit. He's had a few injuries, you know, his age coming into it as well. And with the schedule that the Championship is, it is daunting. But if Hutch is even remotely fit to be on the bench, he needs to be playing more than the 5 minutes that he played, because he gives this club a lift. He is 100% the biggest leader that we've got. And sometimes all it takes is leadership. You know, I like the left-sided centre-half, like yourself, but that ain't working. So why are we going to try and stick to something? Because the value's there. You know, Cooper with Hutchinson is a better defender, that's no doubt. But I think anyone would be. He's a proper centre-half. To say that he brought him on to deal with the set pieces, as he's a better header of the ball, when he's about 5 inches smaller than Jake Cooper, he's completely thrown Jake Cooper to the curb with them comments, not only about the way he captains this team, but also about his defending. That spoke volumes to me on how he feels about Jake Cooper at the moment. And he's right. It's probably the only thing I agreed with him yesterday in his comments, and he, without saying Jake Cooper's name, because Cooper should not be starting Tuesday night. And there's, I know, others
there's,
that will
there's another bit that you're going to come onto in the comments, Stephen, about what Harris said. And I'm going to touch on it now because I've already touched on it. Some players don't want to play for the club at the moment. I think Cooper might be one of them at this point in time, to be completely honest, especially given the way we spoke about this, is the way our captain is leading the club at the moment. In terms of representation on the pitch, leader, you don't see any of that from him. I know we speak about it is nice to have a left-footed centre-half, but to be honest, at this point, we don't play much football as it is. I'd put Tanganga in at left centre-half for the rest of the season because he's got a bit of pace to cover that side. He's going to be more comfortable on the ball than Hutch, and put Hutchinson in at right centre-half for the rest of the season. I'd take Cooper out. And the only time, if Cooper is one of these players that Harris has mentioned that isn't really that asked about it, then fuck off and stay away from the rest of the squad until the end of the season. Then we'll cash in on you in the summer, or we'll terminate your contract, whatever works well. Or if you are asked, we'll keep you on the bench and we'll send you on when we're 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, and we'll put you up top.
Absolutely. And there's, I've seen some comments coming through, and I know people are maybe disagreeing with what we're saying about Cooper, and maybe we're reading too into things. That comment there from Bailey, I listened to it. My dad put the interview up in the car on the way home, and also I was listening to it obviously through his phone. And that was just the impression that I got from it personally. And I know that Jake Cooper isn't to blame. Just to be crystal clear, I am not saying that Jake Cooper is the reason that we're at the bottom of the league. That's not what I'm saying. But he's not captain material. He's supposed to be this big threat from set pieces. He's missed in the last, since Christmas, I can picture four, maybe five big chances in games that he's not put away, that the Cooper of old would. Now, whatever that is, whatever reason, I don't know. He's not fit to be Millwall captain, in my opinion. And he has been a great servant to the club. And I don't want it to just, I'm not just disregarding everything else that's happened in the past. But at the moment, he looks like a man that has been run into the ground. He's been asked to do four different jobs under different managers, and he just cannot deal with it at the moment. And it's unfortunate, but I get that Sean Hutchinson might be towards the end of his career. Hutchinson's been in the match day squad for the...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Last four or five games, to me, that suggests that he's ready to be playing some minutes of football. He doesn't have to play 90 minutes. He doesn't have to play 90 minutes if that's what it takes. But Hutchinson on the pitch would be so much better for this team. But we're just not seeing it. And it's to me, that's a basic element of football. You then went on to say, Dan, you brought up the comment that I was going to come to you boys on the players. There's clearly some players that don't care, basically, is the message from Harris, that there's players that don't care enough as the other. Now, firstly, and I did touch on this in the chat, he said the same thing at Gillingham when they were relegated from League One to League Two. He actually said seven players, I think it was at that time. There was seven. I don't know if it was Nate actually named them, but that was the figure that was given. And he said that they don't care, they won't be here next season. And he made it perfectly clear. And it's just, he's recycled what he said last year, basically, to this season. I'm not going to get drawn into if it's Cooper. I know Obafemi's another one that's name's been brought up, which I personally think is a little bit unfair. I'm not going to get drawn into names of individuals. However, if we do have a couple of players back from injury over the next couple of games, if there are players in this squad that do not want to be here, that do not want to play, I do not want them in the squad. I don't care who they are.
Where we are. Okay, I know what you're going to say. It's exactly the same. So sorry to kind of interrupt.
No, you go on. Go for it.
It is a case of, if you do not want to play for the club for the next month, for these next five games, pack your bags, fuck off, don't bother turning up for training. Harris should come out and name and shame who it is, so we as fans know, and these players, when they leave the football club, their new employer knows what they're going to be like as a person. There should be no way back for them at this club if they don't want to play. If Harris turfed out five players from the first team next game and put all of the under-23s in and said, I'm picking a team that wants to play for the badge, I'd be like, good, at least he's shown some honesty and transparency. Do you know what I mean? Like, at this point, I want to see players that are running around and actually... I want to see quality from some of these players, but I don't just want to see people running around aimlessly, but there has to be a balance.
No, and that comment there, John, I don't know. Harris never alluded to the players. He never said anything about positions or if they're loan players or what. I don't know. And I'm not going to put anything out there to suggest that it's anybody.
No, we don't know who the players are, and
no,
the club's down really badly at the moment. I don't want to start throwing any names out there and chucking anyone under the bus, but if it is you and you're listening, take a long, hard and look at yourself in the mirror, because so many of us, everyone who's listening to this podcast, everyone who's on this podcast, everyone who's listened to this podcast would die for the opportunity that you've got, and you're prepared to throw it away like that whilst not giving a shit about the people who pay your wages. Disgusting.
Absolutely. And on that point, this is something that I wanted to raise. And as a fan, obviously, we do this podcast. And we go to games, we spend our money. To my knowledge, I think both of you two have done your season tickets.
Yeah.
Am I
right
on that? I've done mine as well. I'm sure guys, at this point, obviously, we usually try and get you guys a little bit more involved. If you have renewed your season ticket for next year, if you can just put a comment in yes or yes to season ticket, whatever, however, and just so we can have a look at that, because it's quite interesting. To me, what it means to be a Millwall fan, I'm paraphrasing this from my dad, who I know is listening, so I've got to get this right. We're not like every other club in the country. We know that. We're unique. We are the Millwallness, and I hate to use that, but we do have that about us as a fan base. And for me, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that would feel the same, I don't feel like I want to miss games of football, because I feel like I'm doing my bit for the club by going to Huddersfield, by going to these places to support them. I buy my season ticket, I pay my money, I go to games because I want to feel part of it. I want to support them boys, get 3 points, get a draw, whatever it is. Dan's the same. Jay's the same. I'm sure all you boys are the same. The players at the moment are not earning the respect of the Millwall supporters who would die for this football club, who follow them, who give them everything. We don't expect to be Man City. I don't expect to be Man City. I don't expect us to win every game. If anyone thinks we're going to win every game, go off and support Man City. Go and support Arsenal and Liverpool, because that's not what Millwall Football Club are. But we stand in the stand yesterday and at other games, and we are let down by people that we would give anything for to have an opportunity to play for this football club. And if any of the players are listening, I'm not going to throw individuals. I know we've given Cooper a bit of stick. I'm not going to aim this at individuals. But you come over, some of them come over and clap, some of them walk off. But just think about what it means to the 490-odd, because it wasn't, there was 500-odd tickets sold, but they didn't all bother to turn up yesterday. Just think about what it means to the 492 supporters that stood in that away end yesterday, that went up there with the hope that we might be able to drag ourselves out of trouble, and you put in that level of performance.
To quote Mickey, as Mickey would often say, these people are custodians of our football club.
Yeah.
That's it. I think Jay... this is related to the owners in terms of something Jay put on Twitter. If you haven't, Jay's username is what his name is on screen for his Twitter. It's at JayThomas89. Go and have a look. It's a picture of Aldridge and Kavanagh out, and it's the key words for that are on there. It says, "Our club, not yours." Let that sink in.
And that's it. That's it.
It's blood, sweat, and tears. Sorry. Look, we don't earn, or most people don't earn, the sort of money that they earn. We haven't got the luxury of being, you know, of having it the way that they have it. We earn our bread, and we go work all fucking week to leave our families at home, to travel all up and down the country, you know, after working all week. So we don't see our families during the week much. Then we travel up and down the country to watch them play. All we want is 100%. That's all we want. We don't expect to win a lot of games. We don't expect to be a Premier League club. We just want you to give what we give you. That's all we want. When we give you everything, blood, sweat, tears, we're there. We're here now all discussing it. You know, we give everything we've got, from financially, from being away from our families, from giving up our own personal time, to come and watch you lot play. And that's your job. If I performed at that level in my job, I wouldn't have a job. and I wouldn't be able to go and support Millwall. We do it because we love the club. There's two things you can't choose in life. It's your family and the football club you support. You're stuck with them regardless. And hard-earned football fans understand that. And this is a hard-earned football club. This is an old-school football club with old-school fans who just appreciate effort, desire, passion, and an understanding that I need to play for, not just for the shirt, but for the people in the stands that are coming here paying my wages for me to deliver a performance. It ain't that difficult. You haven't got to be Kevin De Bruyne. You can be George Saville. Just complete a five-yard pass and stick someone in the stands and get your shorts dirty, because none of them do it. They come off with clean uniforms. They come off with this, oh, you know, lost again, straight down the tunnel when we've travelled 500 miles to and back, and you won't even come and say thank you for doing it. It's sick to death. If I turn up to work, fucked everything up at work, stuck trains in the cess, and then just said, see you later to my boss and walked out the door, I'll be up on a charge. I won't just lose my job. It's unfair. It's actually unfair, and it's embarrassing that they've got this mentality that, one, they can do it for themselves, that they think, fuck this. But you've got kids in the stands. You've got people that don't earn a lot of money that spend their last penny on going to watch Millwall all over the country, and they fucking deliver that every week. And it ain't on, and it's unacceptable, it's unfair, and it's downright disrespectful.
And, you know, guys, there's, at the moment, obviously we can see on the screen, there's quite a lot of you in watching
more
this
than more than usual.
Yeah, more than usual. And we really appreciate that you've listened to us rant and moan, and I'm sure you guys might agree or disagree or have your own opinions. There's
this
so much.
What,
I mean,
this is it. What Craig that, said. Like, yeah, that's, let's not forget the financial situation of the country as well at the moment, in terms
exactly.
of rising cost of living, wages not going up, food bills being more expensive. You know, 300 quid. Like, I know that you could probably get a long weekend away in Barcelona or Rome for something similar for that.
Yes.
Sorry, that comment there. Jay, you should be captain. Need that speech before Tuesday. I can imagine. You remember Robbo in the tunnel against Huddersfield in the playoffs? Imagine just photoshopping Jay. Just photoshop you on the front of that.
I get that in there.
But what does that say? That what does that say that people are saying that because I've said a few words? I've only said what everyone in this chat and what you both are thinking. We all think the same thing. We all desire the same thing, the same type of performance. We all can see what we need and what isn't happening, yet none of them can. And if it takes a few words from me for people to go, yeah, do you know what, that's bang on, what are they saying? Because what I've said is only what everybody's thinking about. So what are they saying in that dressing room? Hutch may not be the captain on the field, but he's the captain in the dressing room. Is he getting up? Is he taking charge? Is he saying anything at halftime? Saville is a captain on the field without an armband. He gets stuck in and he says his piece and whatever. Why is he not grabbing Cooper by the scruff of his neck? What is happening with the leadership of this club? Because Harris gives off what I just gave off. He says all this stuff in the media. What does he say to him on the pitch? Because this coming out swinging was coming out limping. That's what happened.
That comment is going to seriously come back to bite Harris on the arse. So we're coming out swinging and putting that level of performance. Because if that's Millwall coming out swinging, then it's going to be embarrassing on Tuesday against Leicester. It's just going to be absolutely shambolic. And I just think there's a couple of guys in the comment there that was saying about going to Sunderland, and
fair play to you all.
Do you know what? It's that whole, as I said earlier, it's the fear of missing out. It's wanting to be there to try and help them get over the line, knowing you're going up to the other end of the country. You know, the couple of lads who said there that they've got kids, or there's a couple of them going and stuff like that. I'm running out of words to say about this season. I'm running out of words to say about the what's going on. And you know, there are fans of people. There might be some people that live up in the northeast that it's local to them. Obviously, it's closest for our Ben as well, and people like that. But there will be people travelling from the capital, travelling from Kent, travelling from Essex, wherever you're based, to go up to Sunderland. And it's just, I take my hat off to you, but you just know that you're going up there for the inevitable. And look, I would love nothing more. And I will say this as a promise to all the people listening, that me, Dan and Jay, if there is a miraculous turnaround, we will come out and do an apology show, the three of us, and take it all back and say that we all got it wrong and we were too negative and too doom and gloom. And I'm more than happy to do that. But look, you just know in football.
Guy's from Denmark for a game. Come on.
Do you know what, though, Stephen? Like, I agree with you. We'll come on here and, you know, and we'll be happy and whatever. But I won't take it back because it needs to be. It still needs to be addressed. These issues still need to be. What? Do you know what I'm saying? Not to like, diminish your comment because I totally agree with what you said. But they still need to address these issues. They cannot paper over the cracks. You cannot put plasters on bullet holes forever. At some point, it's going to bleed. It needs to be dressed properly and looked after and repaired. And this club is not doing that. Regardless if you stay up, these conversations still need to
We'll all be there Tuesday. Us three will all be there on Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be there Tuesday.
We'll be there Tuesday. There's every chance it's going to be a cricket score as well.
I'm just going to go back to this comment. Jesper Damgaard, obviously coming over from Denmark. Jesper, where are you sitting for the Cardiff game? Are you coming over alone? Have you got friends, family? What's the... why Millwall? Why are you coming over to Millwall? Because I can assure you there are certainly other clubs that you could turn off at and get maybe a little bit more of an enjoyable atmosphere. But why
for the same reason we are, because we love. There's a guy who I sit with. I've sat with him for 15 years in the same seat, and he says it to me recently. He said, "You know what? It's like a chore coming down the den. You look at your list of chores, do the ironing." Do the overing, not all men. I'm just going to throw it out there. But, you know, you do your chores at home, you put that picture up she wants up. And then the next thing on the list is go down the den. And you think, come on then, let's fucking get this out of the way.
It's supposed to be an escape. The whole thing now about the match day experience is shit. You have the battle cry video that just does not connect with any of these fans. Connects with the tourists, if anything, showing them all what a great club we used to be, other than my, 5-second cameo on it every week. But... let's also think about it. The tourism income, if we go down to League One, that's going to go off the cliff. There's going to be more money that the club's going to lose. You've also got the fact that travel now, you can barely drive anywhere in South London. Some people have to pay £12.50 every single time they start their car or drive into London. You've got the situation with the trains where there's very often nothing going into South Bermondsey. So you've got to walk all the way from Bermondsey, London Bridge, Surrey Quays, whatever. It's just effort and a chore now. Like, you used to enjoy coming to it and now you go because you're like, I've got a ticket. I've paid for it now. I've got to go. But like...
You feel like you have to be there to support them, but you don't get the effort back from the players. And listen, we've had some good podcasts. We've had some bad podcasts. We've had some rants. We've had some good times. You know, we've had some good results, bad results. But this season, I actually said it before the West Brom game, like during the international break.
I just want
this season done. I just want this season done and dusted, get it over and done with. I love going to football. I love coming to the den and games. And I understand the comments about chores. I really do. But I still enjoy going to games of football. But I just want this season finished. I just want the season finished. There we go. Coming over with a friend. I've been supporting this club since 2001 and I love coming to the den. Had a great 3 years. 12 to 15, where I went nearly every weekend. I'll be in the Dockers. Well, I'd take my hat off to you, mate. If you come over, you've been supporting us for a while, and coming over for at this moment in time, it's going to be a hard watch for you, mate. But
drop us a follow if you don't already, Jesper, and come and see us before the games, mate. Come and show your face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone who wants to do that, like, look, we're all in this together. We might preach it from our chairs on the screen, but we're all in this together. Come and see us at the bus. So come and have a pint. Come and tell us what you think.
As Dan Riggs said, you know, quite often there's at least one of us about pre-game, so we're all happy to. We're all quite.
Yeah, me, Dan, and Dan had a beer at the what game was it at?
West Brom.
West Brom. We had a beer at the West Brom game, and you know, we exchanged the same views.
We're probably down the blue. We're going to be local, so if anyone ever wants to do something, you know,
come see us.
You might need it after Saturday, to be fair.
I'm trying to look at it a more positive way. And to be honest, I can also kind of... I didn't do many League One grounds when we was last in League One. So for me, it's going to represent a chance to tick off a few new grounds, go to a few new places. So look forward to it from that point of view, at least.
Yeah, I'd...
Ditch the video and hey, Jude.
I agree 100%.
I've just got one for you, Dan. Let me grab it.
Anyone going to Plymouth? Plymouth home, yeah. Plymouth away. Well, if you're in the same league. Exeter's down that neck of the woods, at least, so there'll be something similar.
Yeah, this is the thing. You're five games to go, and I know we've given them a bit of a hammering, and I think rightly so. I'm not gonna deny that. But there's five games to go, and I don't think that we'll ask the guys in the chat. I'm going to come to both of you now.
Annie, I know this comment's came in. We're trying not to. We need to focus on the next month before we focus on anything else. So there is going to be a discussion about that, but that's not a topic of discussion for tonight.
We've got too much on our plate.
Yeah, when the season's finished, there will be a squad overhaul review. There'll probably be a 3 or 4 parter, which will include management.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Five games to go. Leicester, Cardiff, Sunderland, Plymouth, Swansea. 3 at home, 2 away. We sit on 44 points at the moment. Realistically, guys, in the chat, and Jay, I'll come to you first. 15 points to play for. How many do we pick up?
I think we pick up 5, and that's just being generous. That's just wearing my blue heart on my sleeve. I think five could do it with the fixtures that are coming up. You know, Huddersfield got some tough fixtures. They got Preston, and then they've got Bristol City, and then they've got Swansea at home. So there's some tough games for the teams around us. I think 5 at a push, and I think they come at home.
I think 4, which is what a lot of the people seem to be saying. Couldn't tell you where them 4 are going to go from. I'm going to say we'll get 3 against Plymouth. Might be too late by then, or it might just keep it alive until the final day of the season. I couldn't tell you where the other points going to come from. 48 might be enough. There's a very slim possibility 48. I think it might be 49-50. To be honest, I was speaking to my dad, and maybe I get it from my dad, who knows. Me and my dad both think we're actually going to finish 23rd this season and not even 22nd.
I don't actually have an answer to the question that I posed to you guys about how many points that I think we were going to get. But I've got the league table in front of me. This is going to really make things even worse. Huddersfield have actually won 2 less games than us this year, and they only sit a point behind us, which is just absolutely ridiculous. I don't think we're going to get anything on Tuesday. I think that's a given, to be honest with you. I don't think, and this one pains me because this is the one that's probably going to, I don't think we're going to get anything at Swansea.
We don't have a great record at Swansea, do we?
Which means that we've got to pick up the points to keep us safe between Cardiff, Sunderland, and Plymouth. And realistically, that's 2 wins from 3. I don't think we're capable of that. I just don't see this group of players capable of that. I made a comment a couple of weeks ago, and on the off chance that he might be fit, I will take back everything I have said about Kevin Nisbet in the last 6 months if he comes back and scores a couple of goals for us. But if that, what the reason why I laugh when I say that is that that is what we're reliant on. We're reliant on Nisbet and Bradshaw coming in and getting us the goals to keep us up. And I can't see it happening. That's the hope.
The thing is, like we're all saying, and we're all being deadly serious when we say this, we could get absolutely thumped. And I don't know whether you've got the goal differences in front of you, Stephen,
but
we could be looking at something like that. Let's say, because it is plausible the way we're playing, the way confidence is, and we have already lost 4-0 at home once this season against a team that are a very, very similar ability to Leicester, if not even slightly worse than Leicester on paper. And as the league table is panning out,
Dan would rather get relegated.
Yeah.
if we concede four goals or lose by four goals, our goal difference will be below Birmingham and Huddersfield, and with Huddersfield it will be level, but we've scored less goals.
So the thing is, at the moment, goal difference at this stage of the season, goal difference could be worth an extra point to you. That's how we look at it.
As it stands, we have a better goal difference than Huddersfield and Birmingham, but I think obviously we'll cover a little bit of the Leicester game. I don't really have much to say. We're going to predict the team. We're going to get beat 5-0, and then we're just going to move on, to be honest with you, at the end of the show. That's just how it's going to go. But Birmingham travelled to Leicester yesterday, didn't they? And I know they lost 2-1, but at this stage of the season, protecting your goal difference is probably one of the best things they could have done, because obviously with us losing, and can Neil Harris and this group of players really seriously protect our goal difference on Tuesday night against Leicester?
No, because we can't score goals. So
the only thing is, under Harris, and I'm not singing Neil Harris's praises, because listen, we said we're not going to discuss management. I'm not singing Neil Harris's praises in any way, shape or form. But we've never been absolute, from my memory, we've never been absolutely annihilated under him. Even when we was really poor in that championship season where we finished 21st, we never got absolutely annihilated, did we? I don't remember ever walking out of a game really losing 3 or 4-0. That's the only crumb of comfort I'm taking. The fact they're going to have Jamie Vardy, Patson Daka, Steffi Mavadidi and Su Fatu running at our low confidence.
Sorry, just before you come in there, Jay, Connor's put Spurs in the FA Cup. That's a little bit harsh to say to bring that up, because I get your point, but
We had what's his name on, in Jay, goal, sorry. Right? The fourth Tom string, King. Didn't we? Tom King, look, the biggest problem we've got is that, yes, defensively we might be sound and we might not get spanked, but we do not score goals. One goal is enough to kill this team in a game. That's the problem. All the clubs below us, they've all got goal scorers. You know, they're all scoring goals. If you look at our goals for, it's abysmal. Abysmal. I think we've got 38. Am I reading that right? So goals for, right? So we've scored 38 goals this season. Huddersfield, 45. Birmingham, 45. Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham have got less.
Okay. I do stand corrected, by the way. I do remember this game because I was ball boy that day.
So they've got less, but we can't score goals. Our goal difference only gets better. Say you lose 4-3 or you lose 3-2. Like, we'll lose 1-0, but the other teams are going to score goals. And the problem is, when goal difference gets really tight like that, it goes on goals scored. That's what people need to understand. It goes on goals for after that. And the problem we've got is we cannot score goals. Bradshaw and Nisbet will be very welcome additions when they come back. We'll come onto our team selections for the upcoming week, which I've got some drastic changes. But if we do not find a way to score a goal, how can we honestly expect goal difference to come in our favour? Because it was in our favour a few weeks back, and now we're only 4 off of Huddersfield and 2 off of Birmingham. And they're scoring goals at the moment. Birmingham played Leicester really well. Okay, Huddersfield have been unlucky recently.
Dan's getting five penalties here.
I'll be honest.
But we've got a massive problem in that department, because the way it's going, goals for is going to be where the issue lies. And we don't score. So goal difference is not going to affect us in terms of conceding. It's going to be the goals we're not scoring.
No, I agree. And this comment here from Dean Taylor, similar to what you've, to follow on from what you've said, Jay. Problem, same players as three managers. Harris doesn't believe in scoring goals. He is looking for draws and lost, not winning. That's the biggest problem. If you're not scoring goals, they often say, if you're creating chances, like for example against Rotherham, again, it wasn't from open play, you're creating chances, but anyone leaving the game yesterday, we had two in the first half that we should have scored from, but after that we had absolutely nothing. And it's just,
I've got to stop trying to come out with facts on this, I'll be honest. I've taken an absolute battering here. Much of a battering as we did in that Fulham game.
You're right, Jay. We don't score enough goals, but we don't also give ourselves the opportunity to score goals enough, in my opinion. We're not, like, at Rotherham aside, you know, we had quite a few chances, but West Brom, we had three good chances in that game. We scored one of them. Obafemi missed when he should have scored, and Watmore blazed over the bar. But three chances to score in a team that doesn't score many goals isn't enough. You've got to be creating 6, 7, 8 chances. And then you might take one or two of them, you know, against the teams that we can. I'll have a look at it here. And just to depress everybody even further, they actually have us down as having one shot on target yesterday against the team that's 22nd in the division. One shot on target. And that is the problem when you set up negatively, because we had 6 shots in the game, 1 on target. For Millwall to score goals, that's suggesting we've got to have about 20 shots a game to maybe get yourself 1 or 2 goals. And if you don't set up with an attacking mindset and you sit two banks of four behind the ball, Zian Fleming, who I'm not putting the blame on him, but he is wasted in this Neil Harris team. He is absolutely wasted. Because he doesn't get the ball. He just, you know, he gets it hoofed over his head and he has to then turn into the target man for Obafemi. If you don't go into games trying to score goals and win the game, you end up on the wrong side of the result. And that's what's happened at Rotherham, and that's what's happened at Huddersfield. And if it happens against teams in the bottom three, think of how it's going to happen against Leicester. Yeah.
I just saw a comment, someone saying, after the Plymouth game, we should all run on the pitch and sit on it so the players can't come out and do their lap of honour. They've got a fucking nerve, even if we stay up at that point, to come up and do a lap of honour.
Well, do you know what? On that, we were talking yesterday about the end of season awards. That's gone quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's gone real quiet. That they're usually trying to flog them tickets already by now. You imagine the club inviting supporters in to have a dinner with a player on your table this season, and you end up with, I don't know.
How much does it cost the game? Sorry, yeah. Stephen?
You're looking at about 100 quid.
I was about to say, it's probably more than that. It's probably going to be about 150, 200 this year.
You end up with, I don't want to name drop people, but you end up with Ryan Longman on your table for the night. You're going to ask for a refund.
Fucking better not. Because that'll be like sitting there having dinner with your missus after you've had a massive row, wouldn't it? Because you'll just have a little awkward look at each other and you're just in your head, you just want to chin them. You know, and he'll probably order something really pathetic, like a mineral water or say, just to annoy you even more. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's they'll just price people out. So the likes of us won't go, so that the people that, you know, have got loads of money that will spend, the people that won't cause too much of a ruckus, it'll be all nice wide awake suits and top hats. That's what it'll be.
You know what,
it actually won't be none of us turning up.
There's some good comments here about that. My player of the season is Alex Mitchell. My player of the season is Alan Campbell. We should genuinely vote for someone like Alan Campbell just to let like everyone know how shit they've been this season.
Yeah.
No, I can't as much as we've been poor, it last year Sav was robbed. We can't have Leonard robbed this year. He's just been so much better than everyone else. I know, well, it's not difficult.
With all due respect, like, who actually wants to win player of the season this season?
No, I know, but
I remember
when I was
playing Sunday League football and we just lost 3-0 and I hadn't won player of the match all season, and my manager chucks the trophy at me and goes, "There you go, mate, well done today." I remember thinking I'd had a rubbish game. Hey, that's how it feel winning player of the season after this, regardless whether you get presented it on the pitch or at some fancy dinner where you have to wear a suit.
The fans should be given player of the season because we've shown up and give 100%. We've given everything for this club this year. If anyone deserves it, it's the fans. It should be one collective. Just stick a picture of it on that ball. Stop showing that shitty fucking hype up video. Just don't hype no one up. Just say, well done, fans. You are players of the season.
Do you know what someone said there about the relegated, if we get relegated? Because the end of season awards is before the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah,
they usually do it with a game to go. A few years ago, we had been relegated and they did do an end of season awards, and the club had already been relegated. And I honestly think you ended up with about 5 players per table because no one went. Yeah. It's usually 2. Everyone just had to converse onto about like 4 or 5 tables because no one could be bothered to turn up. And that could well be the same as this year.
I like this comment from Alex, to be fair. for the benefit of anyone listening and not watching.
On target service and all.
It's the only time Obafemi and Bradshaw will likely get any service.
And it's very true.
Dear. It's just, we make lighthearted comments about the end of season awards, and it don't matter. It really don't. It's an off the cuff thing.
I think operating from this account might be Mr. Simpson.
It could be. He's in disguise behind that little podcast, but because that's none of us. I'm assuming it's neither of you two. I didn't think it's
got to be him or Omar.
All right, that's true.
That looks like something Mickey types hard. Yeah. Didn't he? Omar's not a hard guy. Yes, that's Omar would add a little swear word in there. That's Mickey.
No. If it is Omar, then we want Omar, mate. Everyone wants to know United was in Manchester Potwell last night.
For the benefit of the guys in the chat that aren't aware, Ben, Omar, and Kai, who also Kai was real worse for wear before the game yesterday. So imagine what he would have been like in Potwell after. They had a night out in Manchester, and I think they had a bit of a sore one this morning. So send your love and prayers to our northern correspondent and Omar.
We will try and get some updates for you. Maybe.
That's 100% Mickey. I'm not having it any other way.
Yeah, that is Mickey. Yeah.
The ha-ha gives it away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Guys, let's come on in. Jay, I'm really interested to hear what you're going to say to this point, because you said you've got some ideas for some changes. Leicester,
yeah.
Can I have your 11, please?
Brilliant, yeah.
I'll come to you
Don't get any better than this, does it? Can I just say, by the way, for context, we've played Leicester twice this season. We lost 3-2 in both games. I would go as far as saying in the FA Cup game, we were very good.
Yeah.
Stephen, like myself, went to the King Power. First half, we were decent, actually, weren't we? We were okay value for our lead. Yeah. It all went to shit in the second. But it does show that there is, you know, there's something.
And I tell you what, I'd take 3-2 now. If it meant the goal difference didn't get an absolute pasting, I'd take 3-2 now.
And we got
now.
To celebrate two goals.
I'll take scoring two goals. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt. But my 11, so... I'll go with, it'll be Sarkic in goal, Lenny, Hutchinson, Tanganga, Danny Mack at the back, Casper Denore, Saville in midfield with George Honeyman in the 10, and I'll have Mayer and Brook Norton-Cuffey out wide and Zian Fleming up top.
I like that.
Zian Fleming's the only person who's going to score goals in this team. Yeah. George Honeyman's a bit of a flair. He can create, and Casper can feed him the ball.
Honeyman's an interesting point. Because
and we need some width.
We can talk Honeyman.
Sorry, Jay. So who's your midfield?
Saville, Casper,
yeah.
And George Honeyman.
And Honeyman in the 10?
In the 10.
Okay, right. No. Yeah.
Honeyman and Casper can swap if need be. Mm-hmm. I just prefer Casper to be able to dictate from the midfield. Saville wins the ball. Casper, that Emmanuel Petit Vieira type, where one goes, one stays.
Jesus.
And Casper can dictate.
More like the Angel Martinez
through the middle.
Type. Fuck me.
Listen, this is all cards on the table now. So, and he can feed through the middle, and Honeyman can get left and right. You know, he's got that engine on him, and he could get the ball into Fleming, because Fleming's the only one that's going to score goals. Honeyman's the only one that's going to give 110% in terms of running around. And Casper and Sav is the best midfield partnership that we've got. The wingers, Mayer and Brook Norton-Cuffey, will be driven to get forward. It's what they know. They're good at it. Brook Norton-Cuffey's very good at it. He's been good at it this year. And the time for shutting up shop and playing two banks of five and not getting beat has to end. It has to be. We have to go and attack these teams. And I'll start that from Tuesday, because I'd rather go down with a fight. I'd rather go down going after teams. I remember we got pumped by Birmingham. I think it was like 5-0. And we clapped the players off the pitch because we couldn't do anything else.
Was that the day we got reduced down to 9 men?
Alan, two
clattered Nikola Zigic. That was a beautiful
game. And Lowry went off as well. Yeah. But we couldn't give any more that game. Now, we don't, you know, if we lose 5-0 and we're clapping the players off the pitch, that speaks volumes. But that's what I'd go with. Look, it's young, it's attacking, it's got some flair. And Zian Fleming can play centre forward. You know, he can hold the ball up very well, bring other players into play. He's got that brain where he sees something other players don't. And I think the link between Tanganga being able to play to Casper, to Honeyman to Fleming gives you a good spine of creativity and some pace out on the wings with a sure defence and a proper leader at the back. That's what I'm going. I've had enough.
Dan?
I'm keeping Sarkic in goal, Leonard. I'm going Tanganga, and I'm flying Mickey Simpson back from Turkey early, putting him at centre-half. He's going to dazzle Jamie Vardy with his new teeth. That's my plan. I'm going Hutchinson and Tanganga. Could Norton Cuffey... I want a bit more attacking. Mayer's played left-back in his time. Mayer's going to play left-back if I'm picking the team.
I did ponder with that.
I might go for the same three, though, as you. The only thing I'm debating with is, do I want... Savs has looked fucked in the last few games, but it's like, what other options do we have? Like, has Billy warranted another start? Not really.
No.
Obafemi hasn't really warranted a start to the point where, and if we're going to keep pumping it along, we may as well at least put Fleming up there, so we've got at least a bit more of a physical effect up there. I'm running out of wingers, though. That's my problem as well, because it's like I could put Denora and Honeyman and then have SA in the 10, Imaku on the left, and then I've already put... I haven't used Norton Cuffey. Norton Cuffey on the right, Imaku on the left, SA in the 10, Fleming up top. There you go.
So it's interesting that Nick has put this comment here, and neither of you guys pick this bloke. Whatever he chooses, please, dear God, leave Longman out. No, neither of you, I noticed, pick Ryan Longman for your starting 11s. That's not going to change with mine. We all know there's some comments. Harris is going to play it conservative. He's not going to make the wholesale changes. It's just not going to happen. If it was up to me, I would go Sarkic in goal, Leonard, Hutch, Tanganga, Danny Mac. My midfield two would actually be Casper Denor and George Honeyman. I would stick with Fleming in the 10, and I would put Imaku up top as the forward. Brooke Norton Cuffey on the right. On the left, I would probably go Mayer. Just at this time because he's naturally left-footed. However, I do think there is an argument that perhaps that you put shift Norton Cuffey over on the left-hand side, just something a little bit different, and get Romain Essé in on the right-hand side. Give him some game time. That boy, honestly, I've given up banging the drum. I don't know how good he is. Managers clearly don't fancy him. I'm not going to say he's a world beater, but the look on his face when he come over and clap the supporters, he cares. He wants to be playing football for this football club and not 30 seconds. So just give him some game time. Give him an opportunity to play. The same as Mayer, the same as Imaku. They care. Give them an opportunity to play.
Good evening to you, mate. Do we right shoes off and save key players for Saturday? We have no choice. We have to throw the kitchen sink at every game now.
Yeah.
I can't see Mayer making the starting 11 on the left.
The thing is what I want to say is with some of them players that we've picked, is that they're an unknown commodity to the opposition. Fleming up front, that's not something every team has seen. Mayer coming in, Leicester might, they've not got much game film on him. You know, Honeyman or Casper in the 10, they've not got film on these guys. So you actually give a bit of unknown to the opposition as well. With what are these guys going to do? How do they play? What are they like? What are their weaknesses? What are their strengths? You know, whereas if Harris rolls out the same shit he's been rolling out, the game plan from the opposition is very easy. It's just let them do what they want, because they can't do it, because when we have possession, we don't know what we want to do with it. It's like a hot potato. It's like the Chuckle Brothers out there, you know. So the opposition find it very easy to play against us in terms of the game plan. Now, we might be difficult to break down at times, but give an unknown commodity, go after them, stick Mayer in there, SA, Casper in the 10, stick Fleming up front. Go for something that teams aren't going to be prepared for and have a lot of film on. And we might surprise ourselves, but we need to get younger. We need to get faster. We need to attack more. And we need to go down with a fire if that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And Dan, I appreciate the comment. I have dropped a fair bit of weight. If you want to try and see me attempt to play football, I am actually playing in the charity game at the Den on Friday, the 17th of May. That is my
ability and passion available in that match.
The passion, the passion will be there, and I'm sure the boys that are playing will appreciate that plug. But if you are free Friday the 17th and you want to see me make an absolute muppet of myself at the Den, then come along and give us a watch. And you never know, Harris might be or Aldo might be in the stands and sign me up on a contract. Guys, we've been going now for about an hour and a half, just over. And it's been really negative and it's been quite depressing, to be honest, having to relive this. And we're all feeling that little bit down and depressed over the course of the hour and a half. I'm not going to ask you for any positivity because I just don't think there's any. Dan, in terms of tickets, you just turn up, mate. They ask if you can bring some donations to the Food Hub. It's the Food Hub Cup. So if you can bring some tins of bits and pieces or whatever, that'd be greatly appreciated. But if you are around and fancy it, then come along.
Can I just touch on this comment quickly? This is ironic because the last time Bayern did not win the league, Harry Kane was on loan at Millwall.
I saw that actually the other day. That's a great stat, isn't it? Guys, it's really difficult to know how to wrap up this because usually we ask for a bit of positivity and a little bit of an opportunity to...
Just quickly, there's another one, by the way. Watmore's injured. As if we didn't need... It's not that he brings much, but another question is...
It's a number, isn't it?
We'll have to save this question for another day, but what do we do in training?
Yeah, it hasn't changed, has it?
I'm just gonna try and end with, as Steve said,
we've had a lot of listeners tonight. It's been a really good night for us. We can't promise anything because it does depend on availability, but we could aim to do something probably on Wednesday night, potentially after.
We still got my Who Are You to go out.
That is Jay's Who Are You is due to come out, guys. If anybody would like to get doing a Who Are You interview with us, please drop us a message, tell your Millwall story. Jay will agree it was good fun to reminisce about some of the old times. That is coming out very, very soon, obviously with what's been going on over the last few weeks. The kind of focus has perhaps been a little bit on the what's going on the pitch, but we will get Jay's video out soon. I am going to do another little plug because there's quite a few of you in there. I am raffling off, and I'm sorry to the guys in the chat that have already seen this. I do apologise. Byron Webster's match-worn shirt from Tony Craig's testimonial. As you can see, it's all signed front and back by him. If you would like to buy a raffle ticket, it's £5 per ticket. The link will be in the description to raffle. It's open until the week before the Plymouth game. And I will obviously, if the winner would like for me to come and find them at the Den, I'll do that, or I can send it in the post, whatever. But if you'd like to donate, all the funds go to Mind. I will get the link in the description. Jay, any final words from you, please?
I think the time for words and the time for talking has passed. I think that needs to be nipped in the bud. It's all about doing now. I don't want to hear Millwall way. I don't want to hear coming out swinging. I want to see it. I want them players to come out on Tuesday, win, lose or draw, and give us something to be optimistic about for the future of this club, because at the moment there is nothing. And I'm sorry to say, I don't have anything positive to say. It is a war cry. This is a rallying cry. Please, it's at the point where we're done asking, we're done with ranting, we're done with listening. Go out there and please show us something. Show us that you're worth your weight in gold as a footballer, a professional athlete, because you all sat there at the beginning of the season when the late John Berylson, God rest him, passed away, and after the Blackburn game, and you give a rallying cry how this one's for John, we're going to do his legacy proud, we're not going to let him down. Well, you fucking let him down. Not only have you let him down, you've let his family down, you've let the fans down, you've let the club down, and you've let yourselves down. And now it's time to look in the mirror and not say anything. So I'm done with words. Start fucking showing us some passion, some desire, some fight at the expense of your future. Because we'll still be there next year. We'll still be there, regardless of what league it is. We'll still be here in 10 years. We'll still be here in 20 years. You won't. but you need to play for that shirt and play for the money that you're getting, because we've had enough. So the time for talking's over, and the time for doing is now.
Dan, can you top that?
No, not really. Jay's kind of wiped the floor. All I'm going to say is, for anyone, obviously fans not included, but for anyone who is representing Mill Football Club as custodians of our club, remember, it's our club and not yours. As Jay said, we will still be here. You will not. Have a look at yourselves in the mirror. This includes those off the pitch higher up. And think about, are you doing your absolute best? And if you're not, then fucking pull your fingers out for the next month. Because as Jay said, if you don't even want to do it for yourselves or us, then there's one great man that you should do it for. And it's football. Who knows what can happen? We all think we know what's going to happen. So let's see if this group of players that have been absolutely pathetic, gutless and spineless, and whatever word you want to use to describe their performances for over the last year now, let's see if they can prove us wrong just once.
Agreed.
I'm going to go in a slightly different route. I'm going to say thank you to all of our listeners for sticking with us through this difficult show. There's been a lot of you in there tonight, and I know it's us ranting, and I know that doesn't always make it fun and interesting, because you know, you listen to a podcast, sometimes you want to have a little bit more of an upbeat feel. We haven't had any real positivity because there just isn't any around the club. So thank you very much for tuning in, spending your Sunday night with us. We really, really appreciate it. If you could like the video and subscribe to us, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It really, really would appreciate. We really would appreciate it. We're all over Facebook, all over Twitter, all over Instagram. You name it. Mickey's on the TikToks as well. All of us guys are all on Twitter. We're all talking about, you know, Mill. We've got the WhatsApp channel, which I'm sure will get shared out to you guys. Come and join the conversation. There's quite a few of you in there already, but if we can share that out and keep the name growing. So thank you very much. Just to end on from me to the players, as these two guys up there have both said, we're fans. We love the club. We'll be there next season, whether it's League One or Championship football. But for five games, five sets of 90 minutes, if you're not going to do it for us and you're not going to do it for yourselves or your manager, do it for one great man who put this club where it is. Let's be honest, it's him that put this club where it is. It's, you know, players come and go, but he has stayed, and we are damaging his legacy, and he does not deserve it. Stand up and be counted. Take Leicester on. If they beat us, they beat us, but take them on. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode, hopefully on Wednesday night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.